Hello, Fiona Ritchie with you, and our music is from Alison Brown, also my guest, along with Gary West. Glad you've joined us, and welcome to the Thistle and Shamrock. Leading with her banjo, she pulls bluegrass and jazz together in a new acoustic sound, and Grammy Award-winning Alison Brown's new album is The Company You Keep From It. That was Crazy Ivan. Bass player in her band is Gary West. He's also Alison Brown's husband, and with her, the co-founder of Compass Records. We'll hear about their music making and their approach to the artistic community that is their independent record label. My guests this week are Alison Brown and Gary West. It's great to meet up with Alison and Gary again here in Glasgow, which is an occasional thing for us to do. Welcome back to the rain of January.
Oh, it's nice to be back.
Yeah, I mean, it's snowing where I came down from, but I was here again. I was here last weekend as well, and it was raining here too. So yeah. I think it's just been like that this year.
Yeah, I think so. It's our usual mess. You know, we look forward to it every year, and it's always an adventure. The music and the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's grown and grown since you first started coming over for Celtic Connections. The festival has now sort of taken over the city centre of Glasgow. There are so many different venues, and you're playing tonight in one that you haven't been in before.
That's right.
Yeah, the ABC, which is gorgeous. It should be a blast.
Yeah, it should be. And also for Celtic Connections, it's the expanded version of the Alison Brown Quartet, which is the Alison Brown Sextet. And you've got a couple of additional members and maybe a couple of guests joining you on stage tonight as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely my dream band. We started off, probably the last time we saw you, we were here as a quartet. And since then we've added Joe Craven on fiddle and mandolin and percussion, and we do a lot of touring with him at home. And today we have John Doyle too, who's got such a dream to play with. And Cormac?
Debarra.
He's going to play some harp with us, and Eamon Coyne, of course, is going to play some banjo, and we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, who wanders in off the street?
And in the background, we've got another band playing, Green Card, who will be on the bill tonight as well.
Yeah, so the Green Cards, who are based in Nashville also. They're from all over, but based in Nashville, and a great contemporary bluegrass band.
Yeah. And you're Nashville-based too, which makes a lot of sense for your music, because I suppose when people think of Nashville, everybody just thinks of country music, but really it's a centre of music, and it's a centre for all the types of music that flow through your music, you know. Yes, country influences, but bluegrass, jazz, kind of contemporary acoustic roots music or whatever, all of that happens in Nashville, and all the people that come to Nashville to make music make it happen in that way. There it is a kind of a musical stew in the city, isn't it? There's a sort of, or maybe gumbo would be a better word.
It really is. It's a fantastic town for that. And people assume that it's all about country music, and of course that's the big press worthy kind of business model. But the reality is that a lot of people that make their living playing country music or writing country music have a lot of other interests, you know, whether it's folk-based music or bluegrass or Celtic music or jazz or something, and they happen to be very proficient and they make a really good living playing country music too. But when they're there, they then nurture all these other things, and it's just fantastic, you know, to be around that environment.
And it makes sense for you to be there for your music, but also for your business, because you have created, have conceived of and created and now manage a record label that embraces a lot of these musical strands and brings them together under the one banner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started the label because we were both, you know, full-time touring musicians and really wanted to do something in addition to the 2 hours that you spend actually playing. And we wanted to help give voice to a lot of the great music that we were discovering as musicians ourselves. So that was kind of our naive reason for starting a record label. We started the company back in 1993, when it was still possible to take a naive attitude like that and start an independent label. And, you know, fast forward to 2008, and, you know, the industry has changed so much. But that was basically why we started, was to create an artistic-friendly home for roots music. And now we find ourselves, you know, with probably some 250 releases out on Compass, which, as you said, kind of runs the gamut in roots music, from, you know, Celtic stuff and singer-songwriter and folk music and bluegrass to some jazz and adult pop. And then we acquired the rights to the Green Linnet catalog back in 2006. So since then, we've, you know, kind of rolled in another 200 titles of Celtic music, and so it's a dream come true, and it's so much work, but it's incredibly satisfying, because I've always lived on the fringe musically. That's always the stuff that's meant the most to me, and having a hand in kind of, you know, kind of taking care of the music, it really means a lot.
Thank you.
started the label in 93. I think the year before there were 10,000 releases in the States, you know, SKUs, they call them at retail, you know, with the individual ID numbers and all that. 10,000 of them, everybody was shocked that there were so many records coming out. Well, last year there were about 75,000. Into a smaller retail system, fewer independent stores, fewer people nurturing the audience. And so you have to work, what, 7.5 times as hard to get the attention of the audience. And it's a challenge. And artists have to be very strategic at what they do. And, you know, really, you just can't take a casual approach to it anymore.
Yeah, and there are so many more ways for people to get their music, but that doesn't necessarily mean that your music will get to them just because they can get it through loads of web-based vehicles, as well as radio, as well as downloadables and everything. It's just, I'm interested in it because, of course, I think radio as a medium has changed as rapidly at the same time as the music business because they are related. And I think our listeners are probably curious as well, you know, because it must be a puzzle sometimes for people who love music to work out what's the best way to get it. Is this an okay way to get it? Does this still support the musician if I download this? Is this okay? Is the best way to buy it from someone at a gig? And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people who love music and want to know that they're supporting the music they love are as confused as anybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that I want to cut right to in that is that if a consumer is downloading a record and it's not being given to them free by the artist or by the record label, then it's piracy. And the artist doesn't get any of the money. And, well, there's no money, right? So the artist doesn't get any of the money. The songwriter, if it happens to be a different songwriter, doesn't get any money. Then the publisher doesn't get any money, and then the record label doesn't get any money. And the reality is we need sales to keep the business going, to be able to fund new artists, to be able to take chances with records and not follow any just pat models, you know. So that's a big concern. And I'd like to think that in the folk community, that's not something that we have to worry about so much. But I know that to be kind of different, you know. I know that there are a lot of people that trade music online, and they think that the record labels are big conglomerates that can weather the storm just fine, you know, if they swap files. But the reality is if, you know, if even with the major labels, if they're not making money, if they're losing money on some of their artists, they take less chances, and also it drives less sales into the retailers. And then the retailers have less money to buy the interesting music like labels we are make, you know, like all the other folk labels. So you get to the point where when, you know, we have people come in and tell us, oh, I used to shop at that store, and I go in, I can't find the music I'm looking for anymore. I can't find Celtic music. I can't find jazz. I can't find bluegrass. What's going on? And the reality is, because of piracy and because of, you know, minimum shelf space and all this, the stores just can't afford to stock it. It doesn't sell as fast, so they have to buy it and it sits on the shelf waiting, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's driven a lot of sales traffic to the internet, which is fine. People want to go online and buy a CD, that's fine with everybody, but going online and just saying, oh, I'll just get it for free is the worst possible result.
Glide and hear the nightingale sing.
From The Company You Keep by Alison Brown, a track co-written with guitarist John Doyle, who joined her quartet there. We also heard Andrea Zorn joining the band for One Morning in May from Alison Brown's album Stolen Moments. Check our website for our exclusive feature, 20 Questions for Alison Brown, along with playlists of our radio programmes and much more. It's all on the web, thistleradio.com, and this is NPR. This is Fiona Ritchie, and we have more music and conversation with my guests this week, Alison Brown and Gary West. You're musical partners, business partners, life partners. How do you manage with all of that? Because, well, to be touring is hard anyway when you have a family. You have a family, both touring together, maybe that makes it easier, but there's also the running of the label. Is this a sort of a work in progress?
It's always a work in progress, mm-hmm. And there is no balance.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a day-to-day thing, too. It's like some days we come closer than other days. But since we added our son Brendan to the mix, you know, especially for me, like being a mother of two is really different than being a mother of one, as you know. And, you know, with the label and then, yeah, it's a little bit mad. But then, as you know, kids go through stages so fast that, you know, things change. And luckily, we have a really good staff at the label and a great band that doesn't mind that the kids are there at all the shows. So, but we find that we work all the time. You know, we have very little time to just, decompress. And so when it comes to writing music, you know, for me, that's the thing that's probably suffering the most at the moment.
Oh, here comes that complaint again.
I think of Virginia Woolf, right, in a room of one's own. It's like, well, I don't really have that right now, but I'm working towards it.
Thank you.
for the Alison Brown Band, composing more as a goal, composing and new compositions, new music has always been an important part of what you've been about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's where I feel like I've always felt like I could, maybe if I could add value anywhere, it was there. Because there's a lot of guys who can like lay the thumb to the five, as we say in bluegrass music, but kind of writing tunes is what I felt like I could kind of do.
You're talking about banjo playing, right?
Yes, okay. The five-string banjo, right? So, yeah, and that's kind of the challenge at the moment. But we are working on a new record, and we're just kind of having to take a little bit more of a group approach to get it done. And ultimately, you know, trying to expand the music beyond where it is, I think it almost kind of necessitates drawing on the powers and expertise of those around, you know, to kind of take it to the next level. So we'll see what we end up with.
Thank you.
we bought a new office 3 or 4 years ago, and we have a great studio in Nashville, and it's a studio that's existed for a long time, and a lot of famous records have been made there. So now when we're in this position where we need to take a little more time to record and experiment a little bit more, we have our own place, so it makes it easy, makes it doable. It's never easy, but it makes it doable. And that's just an evolutionary thing. It's like when we needed the time, well, there's the studio. We have it, you know?
Yeah, sometimes if you have a strong internal sense of what it is you want to, you know, where you want to be, where you want to get to, the path kind of opens up.
Yeah, I definitely have found that too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're finding a path, a new path. We're forging our way. Yeah,
I think we are very natural path oriented. We've never set out any really hard and fast agendas. We just always had sort of broad strokes, you know, and when we started, we thought that, well, we want to design a life in music, and what would it look like? And we actually kind of sketched it out on the page at some point, you know, and we thought, well, you know, we like this kind of, this part of the business, and we like the publishing thing, and we like the production, and so forth and so on, and it happened that it looked like a record label, and that was the vehicle that gave us all of that. So it's like, okay, well, that'll do it. Let's get rolling and see what happens, you know. So it's just always evolving.
And just following your instincts with where it takes you. And it seems as though also just by happenstance, you've ended up embracing and drawing in a lot of Celtic music into the label. And it's quite nice because over the years, you've had a fondness for coming here and for many of the musicians who make that music. I wonder if just with your exposure to it and your travels and the people you've had a chance to work with, how much of that starts to feed into your inspirations as a composer?
Oh, well, yes, absolutely. I mean, I really feel like some of the best acoustic music is coming from this side of the pond these days. You know, and listen to something like a Mike McColdrick record, and I just get so many ideas from that. I just think it's brilliant the way there are players like that that are kind of taking the traditional tunes and giving it a modern twist, but still somehow blending the two things really seamlessly, and in my opinion, kind of better than anyone has ever done. I find that really inspiring, probably about the most inspiring of anything I'm listening to. when I signed my first record deal, and you know, in the 1970s, artists had a much maybe kind of much more affinity for their label, and I feel like in a lot of cases artists and labels are kind of at loggerheads, or there's a certain animosity that artists feel like they need to bring to their relationship, and we don't exist for that kind of thing. We really just started the label because we loved the music and wanted to create a good home for it. So if you feel that we've achieved that, that makes me really happy.
Yeah, I sort of feel like you're judged by the company you keep. And so we've always tried to make those kind of decisions in terms of deciding who we work with. And, you know, we've maintained from the beginning that if someone comes to us and says, oh, here's a great artist over here that sells thousands and thousands of records, and you know, we can do the deal and it's easy, and you know, but they're very difficult, then we won't touch it. You know, it doesn't fit our culture, and it doesn't fit our social scene, and it doesn't fit our lifestyle. And the best artists for us are those that aren't just looking for a vehicle to get their record out, whatever out means anymore, but for artists that are looking for a relationship, a home, a nurturing environment, you know, where there's communication available and people that care about what you're doing, and you know, so we want to be responsible and enjoy working with people in the process.
Well, it's great to see you over here again, and I know you try to make having babies aside, you do try to make it a regular trip. So good luck with all you do. Hope you get more time to compose, and it'll be interesting to sit down and talk down the line and see where all this goes.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Fiona.
Thanks to Alison Brown and Gary West, my guests this week on The Thistle and Shamrock, with me, Fiona Ritchie. Our radio programme comes to you from Scotland. It's a thistleradio.com production. We post programme playlists on our website each week. Just check until you see this week's one and see our exclusive feature, 20 Questions for Alison Brown. It's all at thistleradio.com. And if you'd like us to send you a programme playlist, just send us a self-addressed stamped envelope marked for programme number 1309. Our address is The Thistle and Shamrock, P.O. Box 518, Matthews, North Carolina 28106. Well, I'm going to be back with more great music next week. I hope you're already planning to join me. Thank you. Thistle and Shamrock is a service mark of Fiona Ritchie and is made possible in part by the Compass Records Group. Compass Records, Green Linnet and Mulligan Records, dedicated to the support of Celtic music, past, present and future. www.compassrecordsgroup.com. Support for NPR comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Pew Charitable Trusts, working to rebuild fisheries and preserve the coastal communities of the United States at pewtrusts.org, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is NPR, National Public Radio.